Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 204 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast, longest running episodic wrestling figure podcast going today. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, what is going on over there, man?
You know, just another beautiful day over here, Jeff. It's sunny. It's warm. It was a great day at work. I have a Bang Miami Cola running through my veins. So it's a very, very solid day, and I'm actually lying about everything except for the Miami Cola running through my veins. It's cold, it's overcast, work sucked, but I'm doing the Fully Posable podcast with one of the greatest dudes I know. Couldn't be happier about that. I love you, brother. It's going to be a great show today.
Who's this person that you're doing the podcast with?
His name is Ed.
Oh, your other tag team partner.
You know, my side piece?
your co-host out over on Drunk Wrestling is like a different federation, if you know what I mean. So like you're a guy that will wrestle for this wrestling organization, but then over in another wrestling organization you team up with these guys.
Yes, I'm a high-priced free agent, not on the level of Garrett Cole, but a high-priced free agent nonetheless. I'm not going to come play for your team for $324 million, 9 years. That's a little bit ridiculous. But if you ask nicely, I'll just be on your show, which you ask nicely. So, Jeff, here I am. You have me for one more show.
You're actually a job guy, because you know how on Saturday morning TV, like Italian Stallion would wrestle with a tag team partner. And then a few hours later, you'll see him on NWA TBS studio show teaming up with another guy getting beat up by the Road Warriors.
Yes, I'm okay being equated to the Italian Stallion. However, if you equate me to the Mulkeys, we're going to trade hands, dude.
Mulkeys never actually bounced to WWE, at least not that I know of. I don't remember ever seeing them in WWE TV.
No, you're right about that. I just don't want to be compared to them.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Completely understandable. Going back to the energy drink, dude, I found this Red Bull Pear Edition. It's a sugar-free crisp pear flavor.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
Oh, dude, this thing is awesome. I saw it at the grocery store. I was like, what is this? And it said sugar-free. And I was like, okay, now I'm inclined to buy this already. What is it? And it, sure enough, it's a pear edition. And it's called Crisp Pears the Flavor. Dude, it's pretty tasty.
So you're like that meme where the guy's walking with the girl, but he's got his face like turned looking at another girl that just walked by. And the girl that just walked by is Red Bull Pear. And the girl that he's with would be like, Bang. Like, hey, what about me?
Exactly. Although I have declared that the Baby Yoda meme is the greatest meme of all time. Don't at me. Baby Yoda is the greatest meme of all time.
I don't know, dude. Stiff competition from the woman and the cat yelling at each other. But yeah, it doesn't get much cuter than Baby Yoda. I will say that.
Well, it's not only cute, but it keeps evolving. It seems like after each episode of The Mandalorian, a new Baby Yoda meme pops up. So like you get a new kind of edition of Baby Yoda each and every week. So you're like, oh, hell yes. Keep them coming. I love this.
Can you imagine when the Baby Yoda merch starts to pump out?
Funny you mentioned that, kind of toy spotting. I may have gone on to Walmart to look at the Baby Yoda merch that you can pre-order. They were up for 2 days and they still were accepting pre-orders. I was kind of surprised by that. And that was for the plush and the bigger size Funko and the little size Funko.
When do those come out?
I believe they come out in May or June.
Gotcha. So not in time for Christmas.
No, you can put in the pre-orders before Christmas.
Huge fail missing the Christmas rush. Huge fail. They would have sold 10 times more if they had made them in time for the Christmas rush. Then you wouldn't be able to find them. That's when like a pre-order or they actually show up on the website thing happens and they're immediately gone, like the Don Morocco right now in the Survivor Series set. he comes onto Walmart, which, by the way, the other day, just happened to jump on Walmart. I saw somebody on Facebook posted, oh, I just got my Morocco, $19.99. Go get it now. He had posted it like 5 minutes previous. I jump onto Walmart. I type in Don Morocco on the search. He shows up. It says add to cart. I'm like, dude, I click on add to cart and it turned into a quantity. And I'm like, yeah, one. That's what I want. One. But it doesn't give me an option to do anything after I change the quantity. It just sits there on the quantity and doesn't give me an option to go any further, which means figure immediately sold out. So, man, sorry, just angry about missing out on Don Morocco again. But yeah, huge, huge error missing the Christmas rush on Baby Yoda.
I had that same issue with the Morocco figure. I was trying to purchase them off Walmart because I know, well, actually from previous experiences, at least out here, we never got, like the Fan Central that had Carmella and Daniel Bryan, we had to go through Breaker to get it.
Correct.
We never got Survivor Series last year, that Survivor Series series or whatever it is. We don't get those special edition things out here. All we're looking at is basics and battle packs, which is frustrating, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we missed out on Elite Flashback, Survivor Series, and the Fan Central sets last year here in our areas completely. So you're right, Jeff. The only recourse we have is to go online and get them. And even that's turning into impossibility.
I know. That Morocco figure is a hotbed right now, I'll tell you.
It is, man. These older figures, I'm telling you, they move.
What were we talking about? Chris Pear Red Bull? What were we talking about, Scott?
Top memes. We mentioned Baby Yoda. We talked missing the Christmas rush. We talked San Jose Toy Show?
That's coming up. That's coming up. Have we even talked wrestling figures yet? We talked Baby Yoda memes.
No, we just got finished talking about Morocco. There's wrestling figures.
Remember that whole filler thing I was talking about just recently? If you want to get any of our t-shirts, head on over to Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, any of them at all, 203 episodes prior to this one on fullyposablepodcast.com. Download that Podbean app if you are on the go. Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please write and review on iTunes. Scott, like this week, comes in from Spare Time Legend 81. The title of this one is Ding, Ding, Ding. That reminds me of Apollo Creed. Remember when him and Rocky were going to square off and that's how Rocky 3 ended?
Yes, when they're fighting at the end of the movie to see who's actually superior and Rocky says you need to ring the bell or something and Apollo goes ding, ding. Yeah, you're right. That's good knowledge right there, Jeff. Way to bring Rocky into the show. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's useless knowledge, but hey.
If he dies, he dies.
Spare Time Legend says, gave a sweet 5 stars and says, real life brothers, not storyline brothers, are great at keeping the talk interesting. I'm a huge wrestling figure mark, but even I doubted the show would keep me interested, but I was wrong. The show is funny and informative. Definitely worth a listen. Thank you very much for those kind words. Again, we apologize for getting to it so late, but we're just learning about these, and I'm going to go through each and every one that John sent over. So thank you again for sending that over.
Yeah, Jeff, better late than never. Thank you so much for the kind words. It's such an honor to get reviews from people overseas. Like, I can't even describe it. To know that we have listeners outside of the US, that is such a cool thing to know that you reach so many more people and to get reviews from them telling you that they're entertained, you're doing a good job. It's such a huge honor. So again, thank you for the review. Very, very much appreciated.
If you have any audio questions, or anything else at all, send them on over to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Scott, you and I did toy spotting this past week.
Together?
Yes.
Just the two of us.
At the San Jose Toy Show. That was a fun time, man. And I was having a great time at that show. I didn't really want to leave, but it kind of got to a point where we saw and did everything. And I was also running low on money, so it was probably best we did leave.
Yeah, that might be my fault.
But yeah, it was a great time this past weekend at the San Jose Toy Show.
It was really cool that they moved it across the way to the bigger hall, because sometimes that other hall across the way, it gets a little cramped. Not to say that this one wasn't cramped, but it seemed that they had more space to work with. At least to me, it seemed bigger. Seemed like there were more vendors there. Everything was a little more spaced out. And it was a great time walking around. We got to meet Norman, one of our listeners and one of your fellow Bills fans. There was quite a bit of wrestling there. Unfortunately, nothing new. So no Gorilla, no Cassius Ohno, no Paige, but a lot of older figures. And it was just fun. We had a great time. We got to see Jason, who you guys might remember from the previous time we went back in October. Jeff bought the Undertaker and Crush figures off of him. The second Crush with the painted face, not the original Kona Crush. Jeff bought those two figures off of him. And this time around, Jeff and I didn't buy any figures. But Tim, at a chair shot on Twitter, actually worked a deal with Jason. And I walked away with 15 Hasbros of Tim's that he was able to work out a deal with Jason on. So Tim is getting his Hasbro collection dented into, and he's building his collection. Jason got a great deal out of it. He's able to buy his Undertaker autograph ticket now for LA in February. And it was just a great show. But Jeff, I will leave the big purchase of the day up to you.
Well, I thought that the Hasbros for Tim was the big one. I mean, he got 15 Hasbros for, I don't really want to name the price. It's not my area to kind of drop that, but he got 15 Hasbros for an excellent deal with Jason. So I thought that was kind of a big purchase. And the 15 Hasbros he got Sid, the Road Warriors, Bushwhackers, Typhoon.
Yep, he got the Steiners, British Bulldog.
British Bulldogs, Macho in the purple trunks.
Yes, Macho King.
Yep, with the scepter and the crown. And by the way, all these figures were Jason's from his own personal stash. So Jason had to part with these. And I'm like, dude, are you okay parting with these? He goes, there was that initial kick to the gut. He goes, this $1 million man, and he held up the very first $1 million man in the black suit. And he said, this was my very first wrestling figure. And he goes, it's hard to part with, but you know, you kind of have to do what you got to do.
He even told us the story about when he got it with his parents at a Kmart. I was like, oh, man.
Yep. Tim walked away with 15 Hasbro. So I kind of think that was the big purchase of the day. And he got a killer deal on it. And everybody is all happy because Tim gets, like you said, he's making a huge dent into his Hasbro collection. And now Jason is getting his Undertaker autograph ticket for LA in late February. So it just kind of, it was like a feel good moment. Like everybody was helping each other out. And we were like the brokers, dude. We should have gotten a finder's fee or something.
Yeah, right. Well, it's funny because I had been texting with Tim because I had invited him to go with us to go hunt at the toy show. And he couldn't make it. He was on his anniversary weekend with his wife. But I told him, if I find what you're looking for, because he had sent me a list of who he wanted. And I said, if I see him, I'll definitely let you know. Well, as it happened, we made it through almost the entire show. And Jason was kind of in the last section that we were walking through. So we see Jason. We're like, hey, what's up, dude? And I look on his table. And he had all of his Hasbros in individual bags. The tag teams were shared in a bag. Most of the figures had all of their accessories, and he had individual prices inside of each bag, so you knew what each figure was, but he had a huge assortment. And as I'm looking through, I'm like, okay, Tim needed that one, he needed that one, that one. And I'm like, okay, I can't really text Tim because this is too much to go back and forth with. So I texted Tim, and I go, dude, is it okay if I call you? Because this is too much to text. And he goes, yeah, go ahead. So I called him up. I got to talk to Tim on the phone for the first time ever, and I'm literally going figure by figure in the baggies. And I'm like, okay, they have this guy and he's this much. They have this guy and I'm going over, okay, this one has a little bit of paint loss. This one is a little bit faded on the paint. I'm going over all of the good and bad points on each figure. I'm like, okay, this one has all the accessories. This one is missing this. But for the most part, they pretty much all had their accessories. As you mentioned, the $1 million man, he had both the black suit and the green suit variations. Both of them had the $1 million titles with them. So anyway, as I'm giving Tim the rundown of what they had, I'm putting the figures aside of who he wanted. So finally, after about, I don't know, 15 minutes or so, we've got Tim's pile picked out. And then I hand my phone over to Jason and they start talking turkey. And I believe that the price was going in a certain direction and Tim wanted to bring it down a little bit. So he pulled out the Flair Hasbro. And they worked a deal on that. So I currently have, and I'm going to be shipping them to Tim tomorrow. I've got his 15 Hasbros downstairs. I'm going to ship them out to him. But like you said, Jeff, it was a feel-good that we're helping Jason go meet The Undertaker in February, and we're helping Tim put a huge dent in the list of Hasbros that he needs. In fact, he sent me the checklist with red X's over all the ones that he's got, and he was able to put 15 X's on that paper. So like you said, I'm just happy to help out a fellow collector. Tim was super appreciative. It was no problem for us. It was a win-win. But just, I love doing stuff like that, dude. Like, that's what the Fig Life is all about to me. You know somebody's looking for something, and you're on the hunt for it, and you're more than happy to help them out. We were at Jason's table for a good 45 minutes to an hour, just chatting with Jason. I had Tim on the phone. Then Tim and Jason were talking back and forth, and we let Tim kind of stew on it a little bit, and he was thinking, and because again, he was on his anniversary weekend, so you know, he's like, oh man, do I really want to spend the money on this? And of course he did. Who wouldn't? But I was just happy to take care of two guys at one time with the Undertaker meet and greet, and then Tim with the Hasbros. It was awesome. Did I just say I was happy to take care of two guys at the same time?
We got to keep this family friendly, Scott.
You're right. Let's keep this about the Fig Life. Tim was happy. Jason was happy. We were happy. It was a great time. But aside from the Tim purchase, you, and again, I feel greatly responsible for this.
Well, before we jump into that purchase, before we go any further, we did talk to Daniel over at Super 7. He was manning the Super 7 booth. And I was asking some questions regarding New Japan because that was first thing on my mind. Daniel did say that they do have the first four, so you know who is in the first series, but they have the first four series mostly planned out. There's still a few names that they're kind of plugging in and maybe swapping around, but they do have four series already planned out. He said four. I am trying to get a hold of someone at Super 7 that is manning the New Japan line to get further confirmation, but they aren't returning messages, so it is what it is. But they did say the first four is basically already set, with a few names having to be plugged in. Daniel also said he didn't believe that there was anything about a ring. He wasn't sure that he didn't think that there was going to be a ring or anything like that. So that is what it is. You can always go to FTC's website and get the Japanese style ring over there too for these figures. Daniel did say the reaction style figures are going to be hitting. The first series will have six reaction style figures. He didn't give us any names, unfortunately. So that's kind of the little stuff we could dig up from Super 7 at their booth.
Yeah, no information on the Andre figure. In terms of, that's a spoiler because we're going to get into that in the news, but we didn't get any information on Andre, like how they were able to do it. But Jeff, for those unfamiliar with the reaction figures, those are kind of the 3 3/4 inch, very similar to like the Star Wars scale from way back in the day that Kenner had. The reaction yes. style is a 3 3/4 inch. It's posable at the shoulders and the hips. So you can move the legs and the arms, the head swivels, and they are going to have six in the first wave. Most likely will continue if those sell well. You know, when we talked to Super 7 at the October show, they kind of were coy when we asked about accessories and whatnot. And it really, to me, it struck me as, okay, if the line does well, we're going to talk accessories and whatnot. So I would say a ring for the NJPW guys is TBD, to be determined. I really have a sense that if these do well, which all indications are, that pre-order on Series 1 did really, really well. That's a good indicator moving forward that there will be a ring at some point.
Absolutely. And if there isn't, then, as I said, always head over to FTC and you can pick up their Japanese-style ring. So going along the San Jose Toy Show, there was a Deluxe Classic Bret Hart. And the card was in pretty good shape. You know, it had little dings here and there. But, I mean, overall, it was good shape. And I asked the guy, I said, how much is this? And he goes, $50.
Huh.
And I'm like, ugh. I just got here. I can't be dropping that kind of money already. You know?
Didn't you see me walk in? Do you know who I am?
As I was putting it back, he goes, but I am negotiable. I can negotiate on that. And I'm like, well, I still got the rest of the toy show to go. Because like you said, it felt like it was a bigger hall.
It really did. It felt like a bigger venue for sure.
I was like, I'm going to look around. I may come back. You know, my typical spiel. Oh, I'll be back. You know, and sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't. You never know.
Yeah.
So you and I are continuing to walk through and you find stuff for Peyton. I've got a couple things for her for Christmas and just walking through and looking at stuff. And we happen to go down this one aisle And you stopped me and you said, oh, dude, check it out. They have the Tyson big scale Storm collectible.
Yeah, the 1/6.
The 1/6 scale. And I was like, oh, dude. And you're like, oh, man, look at that. They got the Ali right next to it. I was like, oh, my God. So a guy was sitting there and he goes, you guys interested in him? You kind of started bantering with him. Oh, yeah, you know, the Tyson, it's a cool figure, blah, blah, blah. We've seen pictures, yada, yada, yada. And he goes, well, make my buddy an offer, because he was just kind of sitting back there. I don't know if he was really helping his buddy out with the booth, or I'm not sure what he was doing.
He's like the hype man.
Yes, exactly, like the hype man. And you go, oh, dude, check it out. They've got the Hogan. And he goes, oh, you guys interested in the Hogan? And we're like, well, you know, we're just looking. So I was like, how much is he charging for the Hogan? And the guy goes, $225. And I'm like, I can't, no, I cannot get a figure worth $225, you know, especially around the holidays. I was just like, I can't, man. So as we're talking to this guy sitting behind the booth, here comes his buddy, and he goes, man, they're interested in the Hogan. And I'm like, how much do you want for the Hogan? He goes, $225. And he goes, but I'll drop it down to $180. And I look at you and your eyes pop, dude.
Yeah, I don't have a good poker face at all.
No, because you're kind of standing in between me and the guy that runs that booth. And I look at you and your eyes pop. Like, did he just say 180? And I was like, oh my God, that's a good price. At least I believe that's a good price. I never really looked at the Hogan 1/6 scale. And I was like, I can't. It's Christmas time. I've got to get presents. I can't do this. I really can't. And so the guy, his hype man, basically sitting behind the booth was like, oh my God, 180? He doesn't even give me that deal. And I was like, well, then why are you guys friends? You know?
Yeah. It was almost like a good cop, bad cop situation.
I know. I was like, man, I said, why are you guys even friends? You got to talk to him, man. He won't give you that deal, but he's giving some stranger that deal? Man, that ain't right. He ain't your friend.
That's not a friend, sir.
And so anyways, the guy goes 180 and he goes, that's about as low as I can go. And I just kept thinking, I was like, I can't do it. So we eventually ended up leaving that booth.
This was the black and white Hogan, by the way. Not the red and yellow. The black and white is limited to, I believe, 5,000 total pieces. Whereas the red, or it might be less than that, but the red and yellow is more prevalent. They're both sold out on Storm's website, but you can still get them on eBay. And as a point of reference, a buddy of ours, Chow, went to San Diego Comic-Con this past year and got the... No, I'm sorry. Not this year. Last year. And got both the red and yellow Hogan and the black and white, and was told that the red and yellow is more prevalent. Black and white is almost like a chase version or a variant, but fewer produced. And Chow got show pricing and paid $220 for that black and white Hogan. So when he said 180, my poker face went right out the window. I was not a good negotiator, because if I had another 100 in my wallet, that thing was probably coming home with me. So then we start walking around the show.
And I'm going to give you credit on this one, dude. You kept quiet. You didn't really say anything. Until I asked you, hey, dude, that's a really good price on that Hogan. And then you were like, dude, that was a fantastic price. I said, would you jump on that? You're like, in a heartbeat. If I had the money to do it, I would do it right now. I would go. I wouldn't even have left this booth without it.
Yeah. If I had, like I said, if I had another $100 bill in my wallet, I would have walked out with it, dude, because $180 is a player's price, dude. That is a screaming deal for that figure, and it's beautiful.
So we continue to walk down the other aisle that's kind of against the wall, and you didn't say anything much after that, but I could tell you were like, I'm about to drag you back there so you can purchase this.
Well, I knew you were thinking about it, but I was the wrong guy to ask. Like, if you were to say, did I make the right decision walking away, I would have been like, no. No, you absolutely did not. You should have bought it right there, because I was worried if you decided you wanted it and we went back, he would have been like, yeah, the price is now $200.
Right. So anyways, we walk over to this one table and I'm texting Steve with the PPW podcast because they had some VHS tapes. And I'm sitting at that table. I'm kind of standing at that table because they also had that wrestling album that Simon Cowell produced with the WrestleMania theme on it.
Yes.
They had that in wrapper.
Yeah, the cassette tape.
Yeah. So anyways, I texted Steve and I took a picture of it and I said, dude, do you want this? And the guy, and Steve asked how much, and the guy said $20. So anyways, as I'm going back and forth with Steve and if he wants it or not, I made the decision. I was like, yeah, I got to get this. So I turned to you. I said, dude, after we get this, if Steve wants it, if we get this cassette tape or not, I said, we're going to go back and get that. And you said, you are? I was like, yeah, I need to. You're like, perfect.
Yeah. I was like, you've made the right decision.
So Steve texts back. He goes, no, I don't want the cassette tape. So I'm like, all right, let's head over there. So we walk back over there and I said, all right, is the 180 offer still on the table? And the guy goes, yep, sure is. I said, all right, here you go. I handed him $180 cash. And I walked away with the 1/6 scale NWO Hollywood Hogan. And oh my God, that thing is beautiful, dude. When I got it home, remember how it was still in the wrapper, like the wrapper packaging on it?
Yeah. So it's the full box and it's the full color box, but then they put like a plastic bag around it and then they tape the plastic bag up. In addition to that, all of that goes inside of a cardboard shipping box, similar to how the Mattel Legends figure that came from Matty Collector were placed inside of a white box to ship them in. And it had the name of it, of the figure ins on the white box of the figure inside of it. That's how the Hogan was. So it went into a cardboard box that said Hollywood Hogan on the front and completely intact. Like the baggie hadn't even been opened yet to pull the cardboard box out or the full color box out of the baggie. That's how mint it was.
So we left there, dude, and I was like so happy to have it, dude. Like I'm walking around with this thing proud under my arm, you know?
Yeah, you were slanging it around, that's for sure.
So we go to another booth and we just happen to walk by and we see an Elite figure, and it was Elite 27 Undertaker. And I pointed it out to you. I said, hey dude, check it out. Elite 27 Taker still in box. That's kind of cool. So I pick it up and this guy who's manning the booth walks over and he goes, are you interested in that? And I said, I don't know. He goes, make me an offer. And I don't like making an offer because if I lowball them, I don't want them to get upset or anything.
Yes.
Don't tell me to make an offer. You tell me your offer. And if I don't like it, I'll put it back or I'll try to negotiate you down. Well, that's the way I go. I don't like making the first offer because I don't feel comfortable making that first offer. So he goes, make me an offer. And I'm like, I don't know. And he goes, how about $10? Dude, I was like, okay. like my hand dove into my pants again, dude, you know?
For your wallet, you know what I mean? Your wallet.
For my wallet. Yeah, we're in public.
Yes, exactly. You're not a savage.
Handed him $10 and he goes, yeah, my brother just passed away. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, my brother just passed away. And he goes, I'm trying to get rid of his toy collection. And I said, oh. He goes, yeah, he passed away, what did he say, about 9 months ago, 10 months ago?
Yeah.
And I go, I'm sorry to hear that. He goes, yeah. He goes, he was a huge Undertaker fan. So I'm trying to get rid of all of his Undertaker stuff. And I was like, oh, well, I'm glad you brought this. I'd never had this. I could actually never find it on the pegs out here. And he goes, oh, okay, cool. He goes, well, I'm glad it's going to a good home. I said, yeah, absolutely it is. And I said, I'm sorry to hear about your brother. He goes, yeah, it is what it is. He goes, but I need to clear out his stuff. I need my house back. He goes, his room where he lived with my wife and I, he goes, his room was just cluttered with toys. He goes, this one downstairs room was cluttered with toys and my garage is cluttered with toys. So I'm still sifting through everything and trying to get rid of everything. And I'm like, does he have more wrestling figures? He goes, oh my God, he's got so many wrestling figures. I was like, I'll see you back here in March, dude. He goes, beautiful. I'll have more stuff for you.
Yeah, that was definitely when we're going to double back and we're going to find him, because he did say that he was going to be at the March 7th and 8th shows. So when we're back there on March 7th, absolutely we're going to see him, because he said he was going to bring all of his wrestling stuff. So that's going to be a good time right there in that booth.
Yep. And again, I was happy to see Norm. Norm is the guy that I met in line for New Japan when it came to San Jose, and I met Okada. Sorry, I get the two mixed up.
Unbelievable. The heavens opened, light shone upon you and Okada standing there side by side.
Yeah, gods descended down into that booth for the picture and then rose back up. That's the way it was, Scott.
Your pants got tighter.
Is this blasphemous?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. The two are easily confused. Sorry.
But in your world, Okada is God.
Right. So anyways, Norm was the guy. He was waiting out in front. And it was funny. I just started talking to him about wrestling. And he was telling me about how he went to Tokyo for Wrestle Kingdom. And we were just kind of sharing stories back and forth and, you know, waiting for the doors to open. Then he tells me he's a huge wrestling figure collector. And I'm like, oh. And I said, well, if you don't mind, would you mind giving my brother and I a listen? And I told him about the wrestling figure podcast. He goes, what? He goes, absolutely, I'm going to listen to it. I was like, oh, perfect. So while we're talking a little bit more about wrestling figures, he looks at my hat and he goes, are you a Buffalo Bills fan? I said, yeah. And he goes, I am a huge Buffalo Bills fan. It's the stepbrothers meeting right there. Did we just become best friends, you know?
Yep. So you guys are watching Cops after NJPW.
That was it for the San Jose Toy Show. A lot of LJNs, I have to say.
Yes.
It was funny, too, because as you were going around to each table, there would always seem to be like one LJN, whether it was a damaged Hogan or there would be a damaged Hogan and a Junkyard Dog or a damaged Hogan and a damaged Nikolai Volkoff. It was kind of weird. It always seemed to be like one or two LJNs, and then you would come across a table that had 15 LJNs. Jason had all the Hasbros at his table. Quite a few Jacks. There was a few tables that had Mattels, but nothing new. A lot of the older elite style figures.
Yeah, that's one of the problems with the San Jose Toy Show. But again, that might be indicative of the distribution in our area too, that we don't get the newer figures when they drop. In fact, Jeff, the last brand new figure I think we saw, this would be aside from the San Diego Comic-Con Macho Man, was the Sonya Deville at the, was it the October show that we went to?
Yes.
Maybe, okay, yeah, it was the October show we went to. They had Sonya Deville. And that was the last time that we saw a brand new figure at the show. I think we hit every single one of them last year and never do we see new figures. When we saw Sonya, we're like, wow, like they actually have one. So it actually gave me a little bit of hope that maybe we'd find the Gorilla figure, but or the Morocco even. But unfortunately, and again, I think it's maybe indicative of all the distribution issues in our area. We're not getting the newer stuff. The newer stuff was not at the San Jose Toy Show either.
Although we did see a few tables with the Macho Man Slim Jim.
Yes, that one a few did have. It seems to be it's settling in around $60, $65, somewhere in that range.
But yeah, that was the San Jose Toy Show. It was a fun day. Always fun hanging out, going to that show with you, Scott. And so far with the WrestleCon list, they've dropped 30 names so far. Anybody jump out at you at WrestleCon?
Right now, really, you know who is? Fred Ottman.
What would you... Oh, Shockmaster figure, yeah.
Yes, I am dying to get my figure signed. And you had mentioned that actually Brandon, at Hova on Twitter, he got his signed in blue and yellow paint pen. And you said it looks phenomenal. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. That's the colors of the WCW logo back in the day. So he actually right now is number one on my list because I would love to get that Shockmaster figure signed.
And when he does that in the blue and the yellow, man, it looks so good. And he puts where the trip happened. I think it was Clash of Champions. I forget which number that was or which Roman numeral it was, but he puts that on there. Dude, it looks beautiful when he does it in the blue and the yellow. And I wish I would have done that with my figure.
Gotcha.
So it's worth it, man. Trust me, it's worth it.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to be at WrestleCon. And right now, Tugboat, Shockmaster, Typhoon, Fred Ottman, whatever you want to call him, is number one on my list. Possibly Animal, and I would maybe have him sign the Elite Animal figure. I don't think I'd get the Legends one signed. That one is just too awesome. And I don't really want a signature across it, so I would probably get his Elite figure signed. So Animal is like a distant second. It's really, Fred Ottman is the one I'm really excited about.
Not Pete Rose or Mike Tyson, huh?
Man, see, Pete Rose, it would be cool. We were talking before the show, we started recording the show tonight, and I think it would be cool to get a starting lineup of Pete Rose signed. I agree with you. I think that'd be pretty awesome. Tyson, man, it's expensive, dude. Like,
yeah.
And I loved Mike Tyson growing up, but I don't know if I'm a big enough Tyson fan. The dude's a badass. I just don't know if I'm a big enough Tyson fan to drop that kind of money on a signature.
Yeah, I'm kind of at that point too. Like, I would love to get a picture with Tyson. I mean, that's just awesome. That's childhood memories right there. But at the same time, man, that money, ugh, that's a lot. But getting Pete Rose's autograph on a starting lineup figure would be amazing, dude.
Yeah, for sure. The Tyson one, I actually wouldn't want a photo with him. I'd want to get his signature on his Storm Collectibles figure. But that price, $125, I mean, maybe that's a bargain for somebody of Tyson's stature. But again, I'm just not a huge enough Tyson fan to be like, okay, $125 is worth it to me. I mean, I love his Storm figure and I would love to have a signature on it. But man, $125 for his autograph. I think I might rather go get Fred Ottman and a few other wrestlers and then add up to that $125.
You should have heard Dad, dude. I called him Monday when they announced Tyson. And Dad doesn't understand the autograph game. And Dad's like, oh my God, 125 for Tyson's autograph? I was like, yeah, just for the autograph. Oh, my God, son. Oh. And he goes, so you're telling me it's $250 if you want two autographs or a picture and an auto? And I was like, yeah, Dad. He goes, oh, my God.
That's a completely foreign concept to him.
Which is funny, too, because Dad was a huge Tyson fan. Because our dad loves boxing and he loved Tyson. He loved Foreman. He loved Ali. But when he heard that autograph price for Tyson, oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's not worth it to Dad.
Scott, that rounds out our toy spotting. Do you want to just jump into the news or you want to play Bane's beautiful sounds?
Let's play that beautiful music by Bane.
Oh, you gonna learn today.
Scott, this past week, Super 7 showed off their Andre the Giant figure. Before I have you go into it, he will be coming with three hands, two heads, a frilly jacket that Andre used to wear back in the early, early days, late 70s, early 80s, and a can of beer. Scott, your thoughts on this?
First off, the scale of it is enormous. It's going to be taller and more in scale with like an Andre Elite figure. And you can stand him next to the Storm Collectibles Hogan, and you're going to be able to see that size difference between the two figures. It's going to have the bulk and the enormous stature of Andre the Giant perfectly captured. That said, I'm not a fan of the head sculpt. I've read a lot of pros and cons, different people's opinions on the head sculpt. I don't see how Super 7 can nail all four of their NJPW guys so perfectly. And then make this Andre the Giant and, in my opinion, miss. With that said, I'm still going to purchase it. The short hair head sculpt of Andre reminded me of Norm from Cheers. A lot of people said it reminds them of Buzz from Home Alone, who was Macaulay Culkin's brother in that movie. I can see that as well. Overall, the body style to me is a win. I don't like that black trunks, blue boots. I wish it would have been the same color either way, preferably blue trunks, blue boots. It's almost like they were going to go with a super machine or a giant machine figure, and they gave them the black trunks. But I wish there would have been uniformity between the trunk color and the boot color. That would have made a little more sense to me. The hairstyles are, for the most part, accurate. But again, the face sculpt, to me, is just off. It kind of looks like Andre, but it doesn't entirely look like Andre. You look at what Mattel has done with Andre the Giant. Even look at what Jax did with Andre the Giant. And I would say both of those companies did a better job than Super 7, which is, again, very, very surprising to me, given the incredible job that they did on the NJPW figures. And for any of their other figures, for that matter, they've done an amazing job. The new Conan figures coming out are awesome looking. Their He-Man line is incredible. But Andre just looks off to me. It's not a great Andre sculpt. But again, with all of that said, it's still got the $45 price tag like the NJPW figures do, but I'm still going to pre-order it. It's live through the end of December. December 31st is the cutoff. They might expand that out like they did with the NJPW guys. But for me, it's one that I want to add to the collection, so I'm going to be purchasing it.
I'm going to keep it positive.
You liked it.
I'm going to just keep it positive, and I'm just going to say it's better than the Mego figure.
I don't disagree with you at all on that. The Mego figure was really bad.
Yeah, that thing was terrible. I'm with you, dude. The face sculpts just aren't hitting over here. I don't know how else to explain it, but it's just not hitting over here. I agree with you about the black trunks, blue boots. The can of beer is fantastic. That's a great touch. I love that. The extra hands are what they are. The extra vest. I'm debating if I want to purchase it or not.
Oh, so you're actually thinking about it.
Yeah, because usually I'm the one like, gonna get it, you know, yeah, that type of thing. But this one, I'm hesitant.
Okay. Wow, that's actually really surprising. I thought you were in for sure. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, I'm gonna buy it. I'm absolutely gonna buy it. And then I saw the head sculpt on it, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm not a real big fan of that. I just like how enormous the figure is. Like, I can't wait to have it in hand and see how accurately it captures Andre the Giant in comparison to the other figures that are in that scale, i.e. Storm Collectibles and Mattel's and soon-to-be Boss Fight and the NJPW Super 7 figures. But with all of that said, on a scale of 1 to 10, given the head sculpt, I would probably give this figure like a 6.7. And most of that is how well they captured Andre's body and the beer can.
You're giving it a 6.7?
Yeah, I'm giving it a 6.7, dude.
Now, this is going on the articulation scale.
Yeah, in one bite, everybody knows the rules.
Yes. How many points of articulation are we giving it? And I'm going to give it a 4.8.
Oh, whoa, whoa. And here you said you were going to keep it positive.
I did. I said it was better than the Mego. I gave it a compliment.
Okay.
But the face, it's missing with me, man.
It really is.
It's not Andre. And like you said, if you go back to Jax, you go to Hasbro, you go to Mattel, they have captured Andre perfectly. The only company that didn't capture Andre up until now was Mego. And this one is not hitting over here, man.
Well, the first Andre figure from LJN, let's be fair.
Okay, that was 1984 technology, dude. There was none.
Yeah. Okay.
They had to sculpt from rubber. We have technology nowadays where you just slap a box in front of somebody's face and it can scan it onto a computer and then you put it on a figure. I mean, it's... Technology's kind of evolved since 1984, dude.
To say the least. Agreed. So we're talking like 35 years from LJN's first Andre the Giant figure to Super 7s that will be released next year. Agree. Technology's in a way better place now. With that said, the head sculpt is surprising. Because you would think we've seen the evolution of Andre figures since that first LJN, which, by the way, did have blue trunks and blue boots. Which I think this one should have as well. But
correct.
Even that particular head sculpt on the first LJN Andre the Giant, which you and I have both said wasn't super great, I would say is better than what Super 7 is putting out now. But again, I'm still going to buy it. I love how enormous that figure is. I think it's awesome. I love the beer can accessory. I think that's very cool. The vests are what they are. It's just shocking. I really hate to knock a Super 7 sculpt because I think Super 7 does incredible work. As I've mentioned with the NJPW line, those figures are literally tens across the board. They're absolutely perfect. But then to see this Andre figure, you're like, man, what happened? I can't put my finger on it. And again, maybe the figure that comes out, the head sculpt will look a little bit different. Maybe they can retool something on it to get it a little bit closer to Andre the Giant. But right now, 6.8. 6.7, 6.8, somewhere in there.
I'm giving it a 4.8 over here on the points of articulation scale.
Brutal.
And by the way, you can't give out tens, dude.
I'll give out tens. I'm not shy.
No, you can't give out tens.
Have you seen the San Diego Slim Jim Macho Man?
Oh, Jesus.
I know, that's about what it's close to.
Do you know that the Slim Jim Macho Man is not my number one figure?
I know that. It's okay to be wrong.
It's all subjective, but you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
No, you're wrong.
Less anyway. Filling.
So anyways, that's our opinion of the Super 7 Andre the Giant. Please let us know what you guys think. Do you guys think we're wrong? Are we too harsh on it? The face is really a deterrent for me, and it's preventing me from going and putting in the pre-order.
Well, I mean, you can't be wrong. It's an opinion on how the figure looks. There's no right or wrong answer. It's what do you think? I've read both sides of it. I've read people that say it looks good, and I've read people that say it's the worst Andre figure ever made. You can't argue with anybody because it's just an opinion. Your opinion is going to be different from the next person, and that's okay. Everybody's got an opinion. But I really hope that this figure does sell well, because that's going to make Super 7 put more eyes on wrestling and like, hey guys, we should really start to expand our territory of wrestling figures that we're making. I want to see Super 7 make more of them, because the chances of them making another bad figure, pretty slim. Because Super 7, as I said earlier, does great, great work, as evidenced by the NJPW line. Just for me, the Andre is a miss, but I would like to see Super 7 do more wrestling figures in the future, because I think that they could really nail some sculpts.
That rounds out the news. Scott, we are playing our new game, The Changeup. Time for that changeup, Scott. Here, I'm throwing down the four fingers. Here comes the changeup.
I think it's time for a change. Yeah, wake up, put a change up. If they sitting still, we about to shake up. Cause it's time for a change up. Yeah, I said it's time for a change up. Said it's time for a change up.
Scott, we are playing our new game, The Change Up. I shouldn't call it a game, it's our new segment, The Change Up. What The Change Up is these are figures that we like, and we're allowed to throw any figure into the pile that we actually like. But we just want to change it up just a little bit to make it even better. So that's this segment. It's called The Change Up. Scott, who did you choose for The Change Up this week?
I took a couple of Hasbros a few weeks back to task.
Correct.
And said that they were good, but they could have been better. And those two figures were the Owen Hart Hasbro and the Jim the Anvil Neidhart Hasbro. Big Dave, who was on our Friendsgiving episode, if you listened to that, he actually texted us this week. And he had a submission for The Change Up that I wanted to throw out because I thought it was fantastic. He took the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat Hasbro, who we all know was from the dragon gimmick where he'd literally breathe fire before the match started. And he had the whole dragon outfit with the arm gauntlets and the wings out of the back and everything. He said instead of that Ricky, he would tool him into the... There's a picture of Ricky Steamboat wearing red tights, black boots, and his red headband, and he's holding like a stick, like a black stick, like almost like a nightstick, minus the handle. David said, tool a Ricky Steamboat like that instead of the dragon gimmick, or just put him in his WrestleMania 3 garb. I loved it. I thought that was a great suggestion. I even went a step further and was like, dude, it would be awesome if they did a version of a short-haired Ricky Steamboat, which I believe, out of all the Steamboat figures that have been made, there's only been one that maybe had his short hair, and I believe that one was made by Mattel in the two-pack with Chris Jericho. I want to say that's the only version of Ricky Steamboat that has the shorter hair.
Well, the LJN had short hair also, short curly hair.
Well, yeah, but it looked a little bit longer on the LJN, if I'm not mistaken. Right? It wasn't like long, but it was like short, but it wasn't the buzz cut.
Correct.
I'm thinking like Ricky Steamboat feuding with Jake the Snake Roberts in 86 short hair. I think that'd be a cool looking Steamboat.
I agree with you because once you bring up that version of Ricky Steamboat, you're hitting all my senses. Unfortunately, when Hasbro had the line, that was the gimmick that Ricky had.
Very unfortunately, yes.
Obviously, they're going to put out what kids are seeing on the TV. So they see Ricky Steamboat, the guy that is holding a stick and spitting something up to make a flame go up in the air. They see him in this dragon outfit, so they want a dragon figure, and that's what they got. So they were recreating what kids were seeing on the TV at that time. If he was in his WrestleMania 3 garb, the red tights that you had just mentioned, either or even his WCW look where he was wearing the green tights and he beat Ric Flair in Chicago.
Yeah.
Throw that in there. I would have loved it so much more than the Hasbro that they gave us.
There you go. So that was Big Dave's suggestion. I'm going to go a little bit easier this week because I did pull two Hasbros a few weeks ago. Now we've knocked Hasbro again with Big Dave's suggestion. I'm going to look at Mattel. I'm going to look at their Defining Moments series, which, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about in the nostalgia segment next. And in the Defining Moments series, I'm going after the WrestleMania 3 Randy Macho Man Savage figure. I'm not going to nitpick it to death. The only thing, and I said this when that figure came out, the only thing that figure needs to be a perfect figure is the Intercontinental strap. Unfortunately, that figure did not come with it, but given that he walked into that ring with that championship title, he should have had the belt with him because that was the big draw of that figure was he was in his entrance gear. And when he entered the ring at WrestleMania 3, he was Intercontinental champion. That figure should have come with the Intercontinental title, and that would have immediately elevated that figure. It was already perfect, right? But it would have been more perfect if it came with the Intercontinental title.
I agree with you. That's a good point. I was wondering where you were going with it because I was thinking, I was like, man, that was a pretty damn good figure. Had a soft goods cape. I was like, where's he going with this? But yes, I do agree with you regarding the IC belt. Very good call on that.
Thank you. It's the only thing that figure's missing. Every time I look at it, because I've got it both loose, which he's wearing the Intercontinental title, and I've got a mint in the package. I would not mint on card, but mint in the package. And every time I look at him, mint in the package, I'm like, dude, that needs the intercontinental strap. When he was wearing the sunglasses, the headband, the robe, everything, he was wearing the intercontinental title. It needs that belt in the packaging. And unfortunately, it does not. But in my mind, would completely elevate that figure to another level.
That's a good call, Scott. Do you think that that figure would have moved more? Because I've got to be honest, I saw it on Toys R Us's pegs or shelves quite a bit.
It really warmed the shelves. You're right.
Do you think that the Intercontinental title being packaged in there maybe sold a few more?
No, I really don't think that a title belt would have made a difference in terms of sales. But aesthetically, as a collector, it would have added a whole lot more to that packaging. Think of how good that Stone Cold Steve Austin figure looks, where he's got the three title belts in the packaging with him, the Defining Moment Stone Cold. Those belts look great. The Chris Jericho comes with the two title belts. And that's a big draw of that figure, is how good it looks with the straps. Macho Man is missing that. And again, he entered the ring with that title, so the figure should have absolutely included that title belt.
That's a good point, dude. The inclusion of those belts with Austin and with Jericho didn't really move those. You saw those on Amazon for dirt cheap. So that's a good point. Excellent point.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made a difference in terms of sales, but again, aesthetically, it would have made a huge difference, and it would have added even more to an already outstanding figure. So again, this segment is all about that. Figures that we love, but something that you would do to dress it up or make it even better. And in my opinion, that Macho Man figure needs the Intercontinental title.
So Scott, I'm going to go back to Jax. And everybody knows we love Jax over here. Their Deluxe Classics, their Classic Superstars series was one of our favorites of all times. And we had talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I love that three-pack of Jimmy and the Nasty Boys. But there were two things missing. And Scott, you know where I'm going with this because we've talked about this before. One, Brian Knobbs didn't have the jacket, but Jerry Sags did.
Ugh, it's an OCD thing, dude. It drives me nuts too.
I love that three-pack. I love the tie-dye that they put him in. I love that they included Jimmy, the manager. I loved everything about that three-pack, except Brian Knobbs didn't come with the jacket, and Jimmy Hart didn't have the motorcycle helmet. That would have been an amazing accessory for that three-pack, is to have a motorcycle helmet for Jimmy.
It was never made. As an accessory for the Nasty Boys and or Jimmy Hart, that accessory was never made, and they missed an opportunity to actually produce that for that three-pack. It would have totally made sense. You're right.
It just missed those two things. And if it would have came out with that, I think they sold quite a few of those, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't know. I think that would have just added so much more and made people plop down more money for it. People love accessories. Dress it up as much as you can. Throw more accessories in there, people are going to buy it. And I think if you would have thrown in those two things and made it complete, like what we were seeing on TV back in 92, I think people would have plopped down the money for it. I know they sold quite a few, but I think more people would have been inclined to purchase it.
Agree. And then the one wearing the jacket and the one not wearing it, I totally agree with you. That always bothers me. We've often pointed to the Hawk, the Road Warriors NWA Hawk that came out in the Classic Superstar series. And then to pair up with him, they gave us Animal from LOD 2000. And right. It was like, what are you guys doing? And then you're thinking, okay, in a later series, they're going to flip it so that they give us Hawk from LOD 2000 and a Road Warriors NWA Animal. Never happened. We didn't get that Animal to pair up with that Hawk in the Road Warriors from the NWA. It's a miss. Anytime you do that, you look at the great Classic Superstars 2-packs, the British Bulldogs, overlooking Davey Boy's long hair, which wasn't a thing. Aside from that, they had matching outfits. Look at the Midnight Express, matching outfits. Tully and Arn, the Brainbusters, when they did those and they had the jackets on, at least they were matching. It wasn't one in a jacket and one not in a jacket. You can look at Mattel's Rockers 2-pack from the Legends series, matching outfits. It makes more sense to have matching pairs, especially with tag teams, than to release one with a jacket and one without. That to me, again, maybe it's an OCD thing on my part, but you got to make them match. If you're going to give them jackets, fine, but give them both jackets, not one and not the other. It doesn't make any sense to me.
So Scott, we are going to round out the show with the nostalgia segment. What do you say we hit that up?
Let's go back.
What's up, trivia lovers? It's your pal Ryan Buds, host of the Trivia with Buds podcast, a pop culture question and answer show that comes out every single day. There's over 650 episodes to check out on just about every topic you can imagine, with recent episodes on NBC sitcoms, The Breakfast Club, Disney Plus, Stephen King books, and Nickelodeon, just to name a few. Find Trivia with Buds on your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe to never miss an episode. P.S. It's great for road trips. Cheers.
We're going back in time for nostalgia. We're going back in time, nostalgia.
Scott, we are hitting the next two defining moments, aka Series 3. What you got?
Yes, sir. Mattel Defining Moments Series 3 consisted of Triple H, and he was packaged in a denim jacket, denim pants, a belt, and a cloth shirt, and this was his look from his return from injury in 2002. The best part about it was is you could remove the clothing and he was in his wrestling gear underneath, so if you are a loose collector, you could display him in his ring gear as well. Second figure from Series 3 Defining Moments, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, and we actually just talked about this one in the change-up, Jeff. He was in his look, same as the Hasbro, from his dragon gimmick, where he would literally breathe fire before his match. Ricky the Dragon Steamboat was packaged with his arm gauntlets, headdress, and wings, dragon wings, from his return as the dragon in 1991. You actually brought up some pictures, Jeff, of some signed versions of that Ricky Steamboat figure, and on some of them, he actually wrote down the date of that return, which I think is incredible that he would do that on an autograph. Looks really, really good. Great looking figures. If I had to pick a favorite, gonna go Homer here and go with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Huge Ricky fan, not a huge fan of the dragon gimmick, but they really, really, for what that figure tried to capture from that era, I think that they nailed it 100%. Great looking figure. Mattel did a great job with it. The Triple H is really good too. He's got all cloth good accessories on him. It's not the Polly Pocket style clothing. But if I had to pick a favorite, probably leaning towards Ricky the Dragon Steamboat on this one. And Jeff, you actually pulled some prices right before this segment.
I sure did. So for the Triple H, there are actually zero, count them, zero listings on eBay as of today. But Scott mentioned, he goes, why don't you pull the sold listings? And I was like, oh, that's brilliant, actually. So two of those Triple H's defining moment in the jean jacket and the jeans sold on December 8th, just a couple days ago. One sold for $110 plus $12 shipping, and the other one sold for $140 no ship.
Wow, that's crazy, dude.
So $122 total and $140. Regarding the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, right now, as of today, there are 8 listings ranging from $82 to $240.
And these are all carded, by the way, right? Mint in the package?
Yes, I do not do loose. So
gotcha. Okay.
These are all carded. As you mentioned, there were two autographs, one with a very beautiful green paint pen. I wonder which brand that is. I'm actually kind of curious about that. It is on there right now for $254. And then there's another one with a, I couldn't tell if it was a silver or a white from the picture paint pen, that is up there for $300. So those defining moments are garnering a lot of money over there.
Yeah, the defining moments series, again, as I talked about when we talked about series one, it's really, by the time Mattel is done with the WWE line, it really could be considered as their benchmark. With Jax, they had classic superstars. With Mattel, when all is said and done, they've had some outstanding series. The Legends line, the entrance greats. I really think that the defining moments are going to be their calling card. And what made Mattel? Well, it was the defining moments. By the time it's all said and done, that could very well be the case. And these values are reflecting that. As we know with the Legends line, when we went over that one in nostalgia, some of the values on those figures are just through the roof and very well deserved. They're hard to find now, and you're going to pay a pretty penny for them. Well, the same can be said about the earlier series of the defining moments. They were a little more manageable. With the Ultimate Warrior and Macho Man WrestleMania 7 versions, they weren't exactly in the range that you saw with this Triple H and Ricky Steamboat. But man, the pricing on these things is really through the roof. But you're going to get what you pay for. you're getting an older figure, and the attention to detail specifically on these two figures is just incredible. Great job by Mattel on both of these. I can't say enough good things about them, Jeff.
So did you pick either of these up, Scott?
No, I actually missed out on both of these. Back when these were released, I was on a way, way tighter figure budget than I am now. Again, put me in a time machine. I'm going to go back and start picking up all the legends and the defining moments, multiples of each, and I'll be good. But unfortunately, again, with the defining moments, more holes in my collection than figures to fill those holes. So these are two that I would definitely want. Absolutely would want the Ricky Steamboat. And if I ever met him again, I would totally get that figure signed. Again, not a huge fan of the dragon gimmick, but this figure, it captures it so well. And Mattel really paid attention to a lot of the finer details of his outfit, captured it perfectly, and produced an amazing looking figure.
I saw both of these on the shelves. For the Triple H, that moment where he came back in New York, it was cool, but it just wasn't, it was kind of like that Rock and Sock segment we just talked about last week. It was like, okay, yeah, that was a memorable moment, but the figure just didn't resonate with me. No, I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't a big moment. New York freaking blew the Madison Square Garden roof off.
Well, I blew the roof off my house too. I was super pumped for that one. That was a great moment, dude.
It was a great moment, but I mean, I just have no attachment to it. So I passed on this figure. Of course, as I always say, looking back, I wish I wouldn't have, but it is what it is. And then with the Ricky, I saw the Ricky and I was so upset that they put him in the dragon outfit. Now, I'm not saying it's not a bad figure. The figure is beautiful. But the fact that they put him in the dragon outfit, I was so upset because it took me back to the Hasbro and I wasn't a fan of the Hasbro.
Right.
So I was like, well, I wasn't a fan of the Hasbro. I'm not going to get this. And it just kind of brought back memories of like, oh, I don't like this Hasbro. So because of the Hasbro, I didn't get this.
Yeah.
Granted, now knowing what I know now, I probably should have picked it up. However, it just threw me back to the 92, 93 when that Hasbro came out. And it just reminded me of like, I wasn't a fan of that Hasbro, not a fan of this. I don't like how he's in this gimmick.
Yeah.
But they did come out with the Mattel Legends where he was in the gi. He was in a red gi.
Yep.
So they had to differentiate everything. So they had to throw him in his other alternate gear.
Yeah. Without doing a WCW version of Ricky Steamboat, if you're just trying to stick to WWF versions of him, that would pretty much be it. The red gi version that came out in the Legends line, or the Elite Flashback that came out years later in his WrestleMania 3 outfit, or his dragon gimmick. So, yeah, you're right. They already did the Legends figure in his red gi. So, boom, here's the dragon version of him. They really had limited options if they weren't going to dip into his WCW look.
And again, I'm not saying that the figure was bad at all. What I'm saying is it just took me back to not being happy with the Hasbro. And it kind of just brought back, I hate to say it, but it almost brought back like negative memories, you know, because I was so upset that he was in the dragon outfit in his Hasbro.
You're like, man, I didn't like that gimmick or that figure.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, no, it's not happening. I'm not buying this.
I will say that if he was packaged in his WrestleMania 3 outfit, I would have bought it because I have the same feelings on it as you did, Jeff, in that I wasn't a fan of the gimmick. It took me back to the Hasbro figure that I'm not a big fan of. It looks good. And I mean, for what they were going for, I think both companies, Hasbro and Mattel, both nailed it. But I just wasn't a fan of the gimmick. So going back to a limited figure budget, I see this Ricky Steamboat on the shelf. It's not his WrestleMania 3 outfit. It's a gimmick I don't like. So immediately I'm like, oh, I'm saving that $20, keeping it in my wallet and spend it on something else. Like you, if I could go back, I would totally write that wrong. Because if I had known that later on, years down the line, they would do a Ricky Steamboat in his WrestleMania 3 outfit, given it's impossible to find. And if you do find it, it's going to cost you about $150. Regardless of that, if I had known that there was a chance to get a WrestleMania 3 Steamboat down the line, I might have bought this one. But it was more like, darn it, I'm going to wait until they make a WrestleMania 3 Steamboat. And they wouldn't do it for many, many years down the road. So this is definitely a hole in my collection that I would like to fill someday, is going back and getting this Ricky Steamboat.
And then get it autographed, huh?
Oh, no doubt about it. And like you mentioned, that cool green color on the paint pen that they got it signed in, it's almost like a seafoam green. And it looks really good. It pops off that figure really, really well.
Yeah, I think that might be a Posca. I'm going to have to go digging through my paint pens.
Gotcha. That's a good color on that.
That I cannot wait to use in WrestleCon, dude.
Right around the corner, brother.
Scott, that rounds out episode 204. Everybody, please go check out Ryan at Wrestling Toy Tracker on Twitter. Or check out his website, WrestlingToyTracker.com. There you can get the average listings of LJNs, Hasbros, Galoobs, Retros. You name it, he's got it over there. If you're in the market for those figures, check out. Make sure you get the correct price and use that as kind of your Beckett. Remember Beckett, Scott?
I do. The Beckett price guides. And I will say that while I was talking to Tim at the San Jose Toy Show and you were chatting up Jason, Tim is actually on the other end of the line looking up the figures on Wrestling Toy Tracker and comparing the prices and saying, okay, that's a good price. That's not a good price. That's a little high. This one's low. This one's good. He was completely in lockstep with me as I'm giving him prices. He's on Wrestling Toy Tracker. So it is a great, great tool if you're out and about at a toy show or you're on Mercari, eBay, whatever it might be. If you need a reference point, Ryan's your guy. Definitely go check it out, Wrestling Toy Tracker. Great, great resource for you to use if you're in the market for the older figures.
Dude, that is hilarious because while Tim was checking out prices, I was telling Jason about Wrestling Toy Tracker.
Ah, that's great. And yeah, it was actually being used on my call.
Because Jason actually has a notepad where he has all of his listings. I told him about Wrestling Toy Tracker and he opens up the book and he starts writing down Wrestling Toy Tracker and some other stuff that I was telling him.
Yeah, the more people that know about that, the better. Make sure you're not getting gypped. I mean, really, you don't want to pay too much. Fair market value is where you want to be. And Ryan makes sure that you are seeing the fair market value. Now, after the toys that made us, who knows what's going to happen to values on figures? They could continue to go up. Again, if you're not using Toy Tracker, proceed at your own risk.
Scott, Eagle Moss.
Yeah, guys, if you're looking for Christmas gifts and you're looking for something that's not too expensive for the wrestling fan in your family, you got to check out Eagle Moss. Check them out on Twitter at @HeroCollector_. And it's not just wrestling. They've got a whole bunch of other properties as well. They've got DC. They've got Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica. They've got DeLorean from Back to the Future. A whole bunch of different properties. Definitely go check them out again on Twitter at @HeroCollector_ if you're looking for inexpensive gifts for the pop culture or the wrestling fan in your family. You got to go with Eagle Moss.
Scott, I want to throw it back to the podcast buddies. I want to throw it back to Breaker and Bane over at Breaker and Bane's Power Hour. Fun, entertaining show. Brian Breaker's a good friend. Can't wait to see him in Tampa. Bane, thank you for doing these drops. You two are a good friend. You guys basically mean everything to us. Eric and Barry over at Doing the Favor, those guys have done everything right, man. They mean so much to this community. And a blessing this past year of them finding this community and just great friends. And I recommend giving their show a listen. Steve over at the PPW podcast, awesome dude. His tag team partner, Eric, they do a fun show, nostalgia filled on anything wrestling. Could be horrible pay-per-views, it could be wrestling music, it could be wrestling magazines, which they've done before. Give them a listen, PPW podcast. Every week, Marty and Sarah welcome in their buddies over at Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling. And Scott, are you drunk?
No. No, see, the free agent does not allow himself to be drunk on another podcast that does not drink. But I am drunk on the Drunk History of Wrestling podcast. Give us a follow on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk. We will be dropping episode 3 this coming Friday. We will be discussing WrestleMania 4 and why it's the best pay-per-view of all time. It's the greatest WrestleMania of all time. I will say that. I will not go so far as to say it's the greatest pay-per-view of all time. Some may think it's Mike Tyson knocking out some fool, but in my opinion, the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And we discuss why on episode 3 of the Drunk Wrestling History coming out this Friday. Give us a follow on Twitter at @wrestling_drunk. It's me and a couple of buddies, one of which gets drunk with me. And we discuss a certain topic and we make it fun. Hopefully we make it informative. And again, we're not always accurate, but we're always drunk. and fun.
I love that tagline, dude. We may not always be accurate, but we're always drunk.
Yes, we always try to keep it fun. And Ed and Adam, both, actually both of my partners on that show, will be in Tampa, but they're going to be there for a more limited time than I am. So I don't know that we're going to be able to do like any meetups for the drunk wrestling guys, but I'll definitely be at our meetup, Jeff. I can't wait for it. It's going to be a blast. So many people that we've become friends with, even since New Orleans, and we had a great turnout in New Orleans, which was the last Fig Life meetup I was able to be at. I really want to see you guys this year or next year. And I honestly can't wait to meet you guys. I really can't. It's going to be so much fun. I want you guys to all show up. We're going to try to find it at a time that's quote unquote user friendly, so you're not trying to like race off to something else or there's a conflicting schedule. I know there's so much going on during the WrestleMania weekend, but we're going to try to find something that's more user friendly for everybody to get to, kind of a friendly locale so people can bring. I've been talking to Tara Lynch. Hopefully she can bring her daughter with her. Make it family friendly as we try to keep the show most of the time, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have surprises for you guys. I cannot wait for Tampa.
So you guys just did a drunk wrestling history on the Boogeyman.
Yeah. What's funny about that is that's actually our pilot episode that wasn't supposed to get released, but it ended up coming off okay. And we're like, okay, well, if we ever need like a week where we have to put something out, we'll do that. And we had actually recorded an episode later on that I don't think came out super great, and it was supposed to be our filler episode. So we're like, the pilot turned out okay, so let's throw that out there. That's actually our very, very first test recording, and it ended up coming off okay. So there it is, Boogeyman episode.
I still remember when Ed texted me, or no, he called me back in end of 2014 or beginning of 2015. He called me and was like, dude, I just told Booker T that his match against Boogeyman at WrestleMania 22 is one of my favorite matches of all time of Booker T's. And he was like, Booker T was so perplexed by that.
He thought he was kidding with him, but he wasn't lying. He was dead serious. Like, he told Booker T that, and Booker T thought he was kidding. Like, come on, man, really? And Ed's like, no, dude, I'm being serious. Like, it's one of my favorite matches.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And do you remember what Booker T told him?
No.
He's like, man, I did the best with what I was given. So I'm glad that you liked it. We just went out there and I took the material and did the best that I could with it. And he was like, yeah, he was perplexed. That completely caught him off guard. Because most people would be like, I love what you did with Rick Martel for the television title in WCW. Your matches with Scott Steiner, blah, blah, blah. You and Stevie Ray and Harlem Heat, you guys had some great matches with like the Nasty Boys and Sting and Luke. No, no, no. Ed went with your match against the Boogeyman at 22. Like, dude, I'm sure that nobody ever came up to him and told him that before Ed did. And probably since.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. So again, check out Drunk Wrestling on iTunes, Spotify. Are you guys on iHeartRadio yet?
Yes, finally on iHeartRadio. Yeah, iTunes, Spotify, we're on YouTube. So yeah, give us a listen. It's just something different. Again, it's kind of my side project that I do, but we have a lot of fun with it. And actually, when we go to San Diego at the end of the month, we're going to record a couple more episodes. And then we have another set of recordings at the end of January that we're going to do. So we kind of get them all done in a bunch. You know, like our show, we have to record it every week because there's new news, all sorts of new things to talk about. Since it's history, we can knock it all out. But the tricky part about when you do a drunk podcast, if you do more than four, episode 5 and 6 are going to be gibberish. And we've learned from experience with recording that happens. So now we know, keep it in short bursts. That way it's more entertaining. You can understand every word coming out of our mouth. So again, we'll have more content coming up. But again, episode 3 drops this coming Friday. And another couple weeks, episode 4 will come out. And it's about every 2 weeks you guys will have new content. And if you've checked it out, again, thank you so much. We appreciate the support. This is kind of a new project. We're just kind of seeing if it grows legs, if you guys like it. If you do, great. And let us know what you'd like us to talk about. I'm more of the expert on expert. Let's not get carried away. I grew up more of a fan of WWF, WCW, NWA, AWA. I can kind of cover the gamut. Ed was strictly a WWF kid. And he goes into that in episode 1, why. But if you have something you'd like us to watch, I want to see him get more familiar with like those 80s pay-per-views, like Starrcade, the Great American Bash, the Crockett tag team tournament that they would do. I want him to get more familiar with that stuff. So if you guys want us to talk about something like that, hit us up with it. I would love to have him. It forces him to go back and watch it and get more familiar with it. He's kind of seen bits and pieces, but he's not familiar with it like I am. So if you guys force us to go back and watch those again, I'd love it, and I'd like to see him get educated in it, and in addition to Adam. So if you want us to go over some older stuff, let us know.
Scott, roll call.
Roll call, yes. Jason Wolf. If you need artwork, Jason Wolf is your guy. Give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. Let him know that Fully Posable sent you. He does incredible work. If you need any type of artwork, hit up Jason. He covers the gamut of pretty much all of it. So if you're looking to get a t-shirt done, if you want a print done, Jason just does awesome work. Again, give him a follow on Twitter at JasonWLF. If you need enamel pins made, got to hit up at Pollyanna DIY. Jacob's a great dude. He will take care of you. Again, Jacob on Twitter. Give him a follow at Pollyanna. That's with two N's, DIY. And I'm going to throw it out, Jeff, this week to Figure Photographers. Let's throw it out to V Trigger Figs. Give him a follow on Twitter at V Trigger Figs. The great Ralphie Vibes, ladies and gentlemen, you have to give him a follow. A great dude. In addition to his amazing figure photography, give him a follow at Elite Figure Vibes. That's VYBZ on Instagram. And last but certainly not least, and this is a guy that I hope to see at the Fig Life meetup, Ring Skirts. The great Nate, ladies and gentlemen, you've got to follow him. I can't say enough good things about him. I know I've raved about him in the past, but I'm going to do it again. He just does incredible work. All of these guys do. But Nate's a hell of a guy, too. Give him a follow. He's a great follow on Twitter. Nate on Twitter. Give him a follow at Ring Skirts. And Jeff, that rounds out Figure Photography and roll call for the week.
Scott, with all these things going on, Tampa and NXT and all this stuff, man, I cannot wait. It's like I'm getting excited not only for Christmas time, but I'm getting excited for Tampa to, like you said, see everybody there at the Fig Life meetup, see everybody in WrestleCon, you know, just everything. I just cannot wait for this time, man. It's going to be so much fun.
Christmas, just in a couple of weeks. We've got the LA show in February. We've got the Toys show in March. And the Royal Rumble's in January. So we are full on the road to WrestleMania. Everything is booked. Regarding the meetup, we have a place picked out. I have not yet heard back from them, so I'm going to call them and make sure that they can accommodate us. I don't want to tip our hand yet to say where that is. But right now, just so you guys can kind of pencil it in on your calendars, we're looking at April 3rd between 4 and 6 p.m. So that's Friday the 3rd, April 3rd, between 4 and 6 p.m. And we'll hopefully have a spot picked out here within the next week or two. I just need to actually get a hold of them and make sure that they can accommodate us. From the looks of things online, they can, but I don't want to give out the name yet until we actually have it locked in. But you can at least pencil in the date and times, April 3rd between 4 and 6 p.m. Seems to be really user-friendly in terms of being able to get to a spot. It's distance-friendly to everything. And the only thing, as far as I know, going on, when is the Hall of Fame? Is that Friday night or is that Thursday now? I forget.
I thought that was Friday night, but also now SmackDown is Friday nights.
Oh, right. So there's SmackDown going on too. So again, even if you could stop by for a half an hour, we don't want to interfere with everybody's schedules. We'd love to meet you and say hi. If you can just show up, say hi, get a picture, grab a prize, be on your way. If you have to do that, we're happy with that too. But if you want to hang out for the full 2 hours, more power to you. We can't wait to see you guys. It's always a lot of fun doing these meetups. And again, I wish the Fig Life wife could be there. Unfortunately, Shannon has a dance comp that weekend for Peyton that she has to take her to. So she's unable to go with us, but I will be there. Jeff will be there. The editor will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. We hope you guys are there too.
Absolutely. So Scott, that rounds out episode 204. Anything else?
Fig Life since 2016. and happy toy hunting.
I want to thank everybody for listening to episode 204. Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.
Yeah. Fully posable. Let's go. Jeff and Scott, the Tomb Brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, MOC. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fig Life, adios from the Kings.